line. And I believe you would go back and listen to the tapes or check in from 1999 when this bill's on the floor. I made the statement at that time that no one, I believe, who voted for Measure 66 in 1998 thought that that was going to lead to the creation of a new state agency. And that's what we did. We created a new state agency. Because I did talk to the people in my district who voted for Measure 66 in 1998. And I never found a single person who had dreamed that we would be spending these lottery dollars that they thought were going to go to salmon recovery and habitat restoration and create a new state agency. So with that being said, I believe then, and I still believe, that Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is the agency with responsibility for recovery of the salmon and the protection of all wildlife in the state of Oregon. And I believe that it makes sense to have the agency who is in charge of salmon recovery to coordinate the effort for recovery and habitat restoration. And it makes sense to have the money in that same agency. We have to ask ourselves a question, especially in this budgetary cycle and climate we're in. Are we serious about trying to reduce the duplication of service in the state and streamline government? And I think if we are serious about that, then why wouldn't we want to put the functions of OWEB, which is now habitat and salmon recovery, under the agency responsible for salmon recovery, and have them building consensus among all the stakeholders who have to be involved in that process? And that those stakeholders range from other agencies to private landowners to virtually everyone in the state of Oregon. The Department of Fish and Wildlife currently works with other regulatory agencies as an advisor on their permitting processes. That would not change. The Department of Fish and Wildlife would just be now coordinating all the functions. My bill, Senate Bill 384, specifically directs the Access and Habitat Board of the Department of Fish and Wildlife to run these functions. That may not be the best choice. It's one that is already in place. The Department of Fish and Wildlife also has the Restoration Enhancement Board. Both of these boards deal with salmon habitat species recovery. I chose in this bill Access and Habitat. I chose Access and Habitat because I, as a private landowner, have worked with them in the past. What I do outside of this process is run a farming ranch and operation. We have worked with Access and Habitat. We work very well with them. They work very well with private landowners. And I think the intent of Measure 66 was to do projects to restore fish. And other species, by the way. I guess I didn't bring the Constitution with me. I read Measure 66 again yesterday just to make sure. And it is species recovery. It's not specifically salmon, but it was, as everyone believed, it was talked about in the context of salmon when Measure 66 was on the ballot. But Measure 66 does speak of species recovery generally, not salmon specifically. Groups such as the Watershed Councils and Soil Conservation Districts, which currently get their funding through OWEB, would go to a different place. This bill is not intended to shut them out, and I don't think anyone wants to shut them out. These groups are doing very good things on the ground today, but they would go to a new place. They would go to, under this bill, Access and Habitat Board. And they would compete with others, including private landowners, for the funding of habitat improvement on private property and public property. And they would be competing for their administrative support, just as they do now. I think under current rules of OWEB, they are more directed. They don't have their administrative support is more direct. They don't really have to compete as much for that. And I think they would have to compete more for administrative support under this proposal. But I think if they can make the case to whichever board it would be that their administrative support staff is as important or more important than a project on the ground, then I think it's great. Let's fund it. That's the intent of Measure 66. Let's do it the most efficiently we can. No one wants to waste money, and Oregonians want a streamlined state government. I believe we heard that by the vote on Measure 28. I think when Oregonians believe, when majority of Oregonians believe that we are spending our money wisely, they will support giving us more money. Until that, I don't believe they will support giving us more money. So I would argue, let's work together to produce a better product by placing fish recovery funding with the agency that is responsible for fish management and fish recovery. Specifically, the Department of Fish and Wildlife and OWEB each have a director, a legislative coordinator, at least one, public information people, and other support staff. We could eliminate the duplication of at least those positions. There may be more. OWEB has a staff currently, I believe, of about 23 people, something like that. Some of those people would be needed to help the increased workload if this was to be moved to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I don't know if all of those people would be needed, but some of them certainly would. There's no doubt about that. But I do know that we could at least eliminate some positions that I've just mentioned. The Department of Fish and Wildlife is currently in the process of moving from Portland to Salem into a new headquarters. This is why it makes sense to do this now, because the new headquarters could accommodate the additional people who would be coming over from OWEB to run these projects. This would eliminate the need for separate office space and the additional costs that go with that office space. I guess I'd just like to again say that it will streamline government and eliminate a duplication of services that currently exist. And I would like to close my remarks then, and then answer any questions the committee may have. And hopefully it looks like Cruz won't get here, but I'll try to touch on his bill somewhat. If we are not serious about doing this and trying to eliminate duplication of effort at this time, what has OWEB done that needs to continue, and how can we achieve that and those results for the least possible cost in the most efficient manner? And I think at the very least, this committee and the Ways and Means Committee owes that to the people of Oregon, that if this idea is not the best way to do it, then come forward and show us what the best way to do it is. And how can we deliver these services, the services that I believe the people of Oregon voted for in 1998 for Measure 66, was the funding of parks, the funding of salmon restoration, habitat improvement, and enforcement. How can we deliver that product in the best and most efficient manner? Mr. Chair, that's what I believe Senate Bill 384 is about. Representative Cruz's bill, I will touch on it briefly, seeing he's not here to speak to it himself. His bill moves the functions of OWEB into the Department of Agriculture and directs the funding of projects into the soil water conservation districts. I personally don't believe the Department of Agriculture is the correct agency to handle these funds. I believe the funds belong in the agencies responsible for fish recovery, Department of Fish and Wildlife. I've had at length discussions with Representative Cruz about that issue, and I think he agrees with me now. I'm not going to speak for him, but I believe that he now agrees that Department of Fish and Wildlife would probably be the most efficient agency to handle the funds. He is a firm believer that the soil water conservation districts are the people who need to do the on-the-ground work. And they need to be the one that we look to in the local areas to do this work and to control, coordinate the projects that are happening at the local level. I agree with that. I think the soil and water conservation districts are elected bodies, elected by the general population at the local level. They are accountable. they have to run fiscal responsibilities, much like every other local government agency does. I agree. I think they are the ones that we need to funnel the local projects through. So I think that Representative Cruz and I are probably in agreement now on how we both feel the process should work. And I said he has a House bill, and hopefully between his House bill and this Senate bill, between one of the two, we can get one of them moving, get them to Ways and Means, and let Ways and Means, because obviously this is a Ways and Means final decision on how we're going to do this process. So my goal would be to listen to what other people have to say today about this, take their comments, figure out how we can, if it's not time to move the agency, at the very least we should look to streamline and do the best we possibly can in delivering services. And I believe services mean getting dollars to the ground. I don't believe services means payroll. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would stop my remarks, answer any questions you or the other committee member may have, and look forward to hearing what people out here have to say.
I appreciate what you said, Senator Beyer. I'm going to try and get us to hold our questions of you and of OWEB until we've heard from members of the public. I firmly believe that in Oregon it should apply, as it does everywhere else, that people of goodwill can disagree with one another and have a good open discussion. I think Senator Beyer has raised... I had the advantage of kind of watching his notes as he went down through them, and he had a real cogent outline here. I would like to ask that as you have listened to what he's said, I hope you'll respond to issues that Senator Beyer has raised. I know a lot of you have testimony prepared. You have written testimony. I hope you'll hand it in. But in the process of doing your testimony, I hope you'll also address, and I think the senator would appreciate it if you would address the issues that he has raised, because that's the reason he brought the bill forward. And with that, I'm going to start down through a list. If everybody stays within about 5 minutes or so, we'll be out of here by noon. There are some people that have driven over 100 miles to be here. I won't start concentrating on them unless I realize that we're going to go a long time, and then I may rearrange a little bit depending on distance. But for now, I'll start with the order that you signed up, and that would mean Tom Wolf will go first. Oh, I need to say that Jeff Huntington and Jim Myron asked if they could go at the end to give the public a chance to go first, and then they'll be here with a kind of an agency wrap-up. And that way we get to listen to folks that have come from here and there and everywhere first. So Jim Wolf, Oregon Council, Trout Unlimited from Washington County.
Chair Shields, committee members, my name is Tom Wolf, and I'm here as a dual purpose as the chair of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited, a cold water conservation group, and as the chair of the Tualatin River Watershed Council, a 20-member stakeholder group representing our basin. And I have come representing both councils in opposition to Senate Bill 384. I have a written testimony that's up before you, but I would like to specifically address some of the comments that Senator Byers talked about. And number one, having worked with ODFW very intensely over the last 10 years, served on many committees with them, task force, including the recent Native Fish Conservation Policy Task Force, unfortunately, ODFW is not equipped to handle the duties of OWEB. They don't have the staff, the technical ability. They are primarily concentrating on fish restoration, and to be honest, a lot of their money and effort is devoted to hatchery reproduction. So I believe they would be a poor choice to move OWEB into, and that's honest, not saying it in a malicious way, but just an honest, that they don't have they've gotten rid of a lot of their scientists because of budget cuts. They've are very understaffed, and I feel that it would be the wrong idea in the maximum to do that. And frankly, if you were to ask me what to do about it, I would say to transfer some of ODFW's functions to OWEB instead, if you were to ask me what I think a solution would be. And it's wrong thinking to say that in our watershed recovery it's all just about salmon. It's not all just about salmon. It's also about water quality. It's about habitat restoration, and ODFW does not have people that can focus on that. So whereas I understand Senator Beyer's concern to cut down on waste, I don't believe that moving it to ODFW would be the current thing to do. And then, speaking as a chair of a watershed council who has members that are freaking out right now because of what's going down on here on the possibility of eliminating OWEB, I think it would send the wrong message also. I think that that if you eliminated OWEB, it would send a message that what we've done in the past has not, no matter what your intention was, has not been worthwhile. And I would really, there's a whole lot of really unselfish men and women that are putting in lots of hours, not only in the Tualatin, but in the Clackamas, in the Sandy, and all over, people that I know and have worked with on many levels. And I think it's important to not send the wrong message to those people. To eliminate an agency that specifically details money towards them would send the absolute wrong message. And again, they don't see ODFW as the agent that they can turn to. They fear that if ODFW gets a hold of that money, it's going to go into hatchery reproduction. And I think that whereas I can understand your concern, OWEB serves a necessary function. It serves a function that is needed. It serves a function for clean watersheds. And I think it should be kept. So those are, I deviated from the words I had in my written testimony, which I do 99% of the time. Yeah. But that's what I've come to share. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to take them. And thank you very much.
Okay. Senator Fisher has a question. Senator Beyer was looking for his copy of your testimony to make sure he has it.
And okay.
So, Senator Fisher, go ahead.
Yeah, as I see it, the funding and the actions would be sent to the Access and Habitat Board. Now, is all that board is concerned about is hatchery?
No, actually, Access and Habitat is just concerned about wildlife. It's not concerned about fish matters.
Fish aren't wildlife?
Well, they have another board that they call R&E that deals with restoration and enhancement, that deals primarily with fish issues. And that's the one that deals with fish issues. They have two separate boards. And to be honest, R&E, a lot of R&E time is spent on hatchery maintenance and those things. And again, they're not equipped to deal with what OWEB does right now.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to ask Jane O'Keefe, who has come a great deal farther than 100 miles, if she'll come, from Lake County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Covered some territory to get here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jane O'Keefe. I live in Adel, Oregon. That's 10 miles above where Oregon, California, and Nevada meet. And I live on a cattle ranch. I'm a former Lake County Commissioner and a public member of OWEB. I'm here today testifying in opposition to the bill. And I feel that it is of great value to the citizens of Oregon to have an independent agency, OWEB, administer this competitive grant program. Specifically, I'm worried that having a regulatory agency such as Fish and Wildlife administer the program will have a chilling effect on private landowners, like the ranchers that I know so well. Currently, we have a board with diverse viewpoints and no particular ties to organized constituencies. In my opinion, the structure allows for good decisions based on peer review and on-the-ground knowledge. I fear that over time the structure will erode if OWEB is absorbed by a regulatory agency. It seems to me that you have two reasons for wanting to be part of a board. to stop bad things from happening and to change the course, or the reason that I wanted to be a member of OWEB, to be a part of something that's on the right track and doing things well. As I said earlier, I come from ranching country. It's particularly gratifying for me to see letters like the one that Jesse and Pam White of Jordan Valley, Oregon, wrote Congressman Walden. I won't read you the whole letter, just a piece of it. He says, "Honorable Mr. Walden, our feedlot and corrals were on the banks of the Owyhee River and had been for some 70 years. Many advisors ask us to relocate them before DEQ or EPA fined us up to $20,000 per day," they said. "OWEB is not suing the life out of small towns in Oregon, choking the economy, or closing business. OWEB puts money into improvements, take recommendations from local watershed councils, and has results to show for the money. With not one tragedy and no ruined communities." And then in this book that tells about some of the investments Oregon has made, it shows a picture of Mr. White. And the sign there says, "Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and the Jess White Ranch have relocated this facility from the Owyhee River area to better serve the environmental community and scenic values of the Owyhee River." Then it lists the partners. And this is very typical of an OWEB project: OWC, SWCD, NRCS, ODFW, and Boy Scout Troop number 278 contributed to this rehabilitative effort. One of the concerns is the amount of staff that OWEB has. And one of the things that I would like to point out is OWEB does administer a large amount of money. The public does require accountability, as does the legislature, for that money. And I feel that the amount of staff we have at this time is appropriate to assure that accountability. I'm not sure that you'd get much agency savings if you moved OWEB. In conclusion, I'd like to say that I think it's important to review agency operations and objectives, and sometimes significant change is warranted. I believe this time it is not. Thank you very much, and I would be glad to answer questions.
Can you make a copy of your testimony available to us?
If you don't mind reading this stuff.
I would be inclined to ask if you'd hand it to staff and we'll photocopy it and read your scribbles.
Certainly.
Okay. And that letter might be worthwhile, too.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Thank you for coming all the way from Lake County. Hillary Abraham.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can read sometimes. Now, I know you didn't come 100 miles, but we'll let you talk anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the committee, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Hillary Abraham. I am the Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy of Oregon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to appear before you today. I'm here to speak in opposition to Senate Bill 384. The mission of the Nature Conservancy is to preserve the plants, animals, and natural communities representing the diversity of life on Earth by protecting the lands and waters they need to survive. In short, our mission is to preserve the full array of biological diversity that represents our heritage from the past and our legacy to future generations. The Nature Conservancy strongly supports the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and we do oppose any effort to abolish it or to otherwise compromise its effectiveness or efficiency, which are attributes most sought after these days in state government. OWEB has created unprecedented opportunities to engage citizens across Oregon in the critical work of restoring healthy watersheds and habitats in their own communities and backyards. After decades in which our state's fish and wildlife resources have been in jeopardy and economic uses of natural resources have been stalemated, OWEB has placed back into the hands of Oregonians some of the critical keys to our own destiny. To do anything that diminishes these opportunities would not only break faith with Oregon voters, but it would further erode their trust in government, the legislature as willing and engaged partners in meeting local needs. It would needlessly risk the environmental gains achieved under the Oregon Plan and court the return of federal intervention, and it wouldn't necessarily save any money. The Nature Conservancy was involved in creating OWEB and its grant-making funding source from the beginning. In 1998, we helped lead a broad coalition of business, forest industry, and environmental groups to dedicate a funding source to implement the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds. This coalition teamed with advocates for state parks to create what we called the Campaign for Parks and Salmon. We sponsored, gathered signatures for, and placed a measure on the statewide ballot. Ballot Measure 66 was a constitutional amendment that dedicated 15% of lottery proceeds to projects to protect beaches, salmon, wildlife habitats, watersheds, and state parks. Measure 66 was carefully and thoughtfully written. The Oregon Plan had marshaled the cooperation and goodwill of private industry, citizens, local governments, and state agencies to address the critical need for watershed restoration activities at the local level. What it did not have yet was a public source of state funding dedicated to match the major investments private industry was willing to make and to leverage federal funds available for these purposes. Measure 66 was designed to meet this urgent need, and it did so not only by providing a source of funds, but also by empowering local groups like watershed councils and landowners with a grant program to address local needs by encouraging a scientific approach to assessments, inventories, and monitoring, by directing the bulk of the funds to capital expenditures on the ground, and by ensuring that a single state agency would oversee the effective deployment of these funds. When we took Measure 66 to the voters and urged them to support it, we promised that in addition to enhancement to our state parks, the measure would help protect and restore Oregon's critical wetlands, native grasslands, streams, rivers, and other habitats for fish and wildlife, and that it would provide practical, voluntary, site-specific resources for landowners to protect key habitats. The measure passed with 67% of Oregon's voters in favor, and those provisions are now enshrined in Oregon's Constitution. When the 1999 legislature took up the challenge of implementing Measure 66, the Conservancy and its coalition partners were there to advocate for the support of the Oregon Plan and for the expectations of Oregon's voters as the measure was presented to them. Legislators worked closely with us, and we should all be proud of those results. First, OWEB has fulfilled its mandate to create specific tools to engage and to empower watershed councils, conservation districts, and other local groups to conduct scientific assessments and surveys and to plan, prepare, and undertake complex restoration projects. It has developed protocols for prioritizing projects and monitoring results to judge their effectiveness. These tools put everyone on a level playing field and are essential to the scientific credibility and fairness that voters have a right to expect from a statewide grant-making body. And a record of effectiveness also helps keep the Oregon Plan on point in the eyes of federal agencies and other observers. Second, OWEB is fulfilling the intent of Measure 66 by making funding available to local projects in every county and watershed across our state and in leveraging additional dollars from private and public sources, including federal programs. Voluntary local action involving youth and other volunteers and promoting education about watersheds are hallmarks of the Oregon Plan. So are the matching funds and donations that stretch every lottery dollar under this program. According to a University of Oregon study, every dollar spent on watershed restoration has an estimated multiplier effect of generating an additional $1.65 to $2.50 benefit to the local economy. A breakdown of OWEB investments by county, watershed council, and conservation district is available on the OWEB website, and I encourage all legislators to look at this extremely impressive document. Third, the enabling legislation created an OWEB board structure that is critical to implementation of the Oregon Plan. It includes representatives of all the state resource agencies, as well as tribes and leading Oregon citizens and business people. It also includes non-voting representatives from the federal resource agencies to ensure they are consulted and engaged in Oregon's unique approach and its results. The legislature created this board as a statewide granting authority to be neither beholden to or dominated by any one state agency, and its credibility hinges on its independence. In our view, the OWEB board and staff have done an outstanding job of fulfilling the expectations and the direction set for it by the legislature and the sponsors of Measure 66. No other state agency is in a position to pick up this mantle. If OWEB and its board were abolished, the result would be a tragic loss to Oregonians of an effective, solutions-oriented program that is making a difference in every corner of our state and returning a sense of ownership and stewardship to local communities. The bill proposes to transfer OLEB's functions to another agency, but this is no solution. No other agency has the independence that gives OLEB its credibility. No agency has a single focus on the Oregon Plan or the ability to engage local stakeholders in implementing it, since every agency has only a piece of it. No agency, board, or commission has the range of expertise or the jurisdictional scope deliberately built into the OLEB board. In summary, the Conservancy strongly urges the legislature to keep faith with the voters who passed Measure 66, as the legislature did in 1999 and in 2001. The stakes for Oregon's future remain extremely high, even as we navigate uncharted budget waters. The Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds is still an excellent roadmap that will see us through to better times. We should keep working together to keep Oregon's destiny in our own hands by harnessing the passion for a healthy environment that motivates Oregonians everywhere. We should stay the course. Thank you, and I welcome any questions you have at this time.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Are there any questions? I think probably we all could have lots of questions if we weren't trying to move as fast as possible. But please keep in touch with us.
Thank you for your time.
Ray Wilkerson, and as Ray's coming up, I'm going to remind people that I'm trying to keep people to about 5 minutes apiece or less if you're a fast talker or whatever. And I know that Ray has never been accused of doing that. But I'm just going to try to stay on target as much as possible. Ray, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Ray Wilkerson of the Oregon Forest Industries Council, and I will be quick. I'd like to just briefly take kind of the proverbial 30,000-foot view of this issue and maybe look back in time a little bit, and I think it's important in considering legislation like this to remember why the Oregon Plan was created in the first place. And its purpose from the outset has been to serve as an alternative to the direct application of the Federal Endangered Species Act on the salmon issue in the state of Oregon. And I think from the outset, people in this building and outside this building universally viewed that as a good idea. And there has been legislation for the last three sessions of various shapes and sizes related to codifying and implementing the Oregon Salmon Plan. In my recollection, there have been few, if any, votes on the floor of either the House or the Senate in those three sessions in opposition to those various pieces of legislation. So the idea, I think, is universally viewed in this state, in my judgment at least, as a good idea, as an alternative to a federal command and control regulatory approach to this issue. A previous legislature made the judgment that this was important enough to the state of Oregon that it deserved to have the Oregon Plan deserved to have its own distinct administrative entity in charge of it, and that the plan needed an entity that would whose only purpose was to administer the plan, as opposed to signing it to an existing state agency that has multiple obligations and multiple purposes under state law, where it could get lost in the shuffle or not get the attention that it deserved. That was a judgment of a previous legislature. This bill now asks us all to examine that judgment and whether that judgment was correct or not. And Mr. Chairman, and your admonishment at the beginning to be responsive to the sponsor's comments is a good one, and certainly streamlining and efficiency and looking for ways to save cost is incumbent on all of us this session. And there's no way that OLEB or any other state agency is going to get through this session unscathed. I mean, that's just the nature of the situation we're in, and I'm sure they understand that, and that's just the way it is. But again, in viewing this issue, it's important to keep in mind the original purpose of the plan as an alternative to the Federal Endangered Species Act, and I think that purpose right now is more important and, frankly, more promising than it ever has been. The reason for that is I think you know that just recently, last month, the state of Oregon formally asked the federal government to recognize the Oregon Plan in a formal, legal way. It was a letter sent to the regional administrator of the National Fisheries Service asking for this formal recognition. The effect of that would be to alleviate any potential threat of federal enforcement of the Endangered Species Act, even while the listings continue against the citizens of this state or against the state government. And that could come both from agency action, federal agency action, and also through third-party lawsuits, that sort of thing. And we're right now in the middle of a very nasty experience, the state and others, including OFIC, of what those kind of federal lawsuits brought by third parties can look like. this federal administration is friendly to this suggestion. It is inclined to support the request that the state of Oregon has made to formally recognize the Oregon Plan as an alternative to the Endangered Species Act. So our concern with this bill is principally the perception. I can't say for sure that ODF&W couldn't run the Oregon Plan. I don't know that. There probably is another way. There are other options that are worthy of consideration. But to the outside world, I think it would look like we were backsliding. That the judgment made by a previous legislature that this plan was important enough to have an independent entity to run it has been reversed, and therefore the commitment of the people of Oregon to the plan is not there anymore. Therefore, even if the federal government grants this formal recognition, the critics of the plan will go to court. They'll file another lawsuit. They'll say, look what Oregon's doing. They're getting rid of the entity. They're doing X, Y, and Z. They're not committed to this plan. They're walking away from it. You can't acknowledge it formally, and then we lose that case, and we're all back in the soup again. So that's the perception, and that's the perception problem that I see with this. And in no way do I mean any disrespect to the sponsor or the intent of looking for efficiencies and streamlining, but I think we need to be cognizant of the bigger picture and the potential consequences. So that's what I wanted to say, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Ray. Questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Not so much a question. I'd just like to make a comment, I guess, and Ray, you and I had basically the same discussion in my office last week or earlier this week. But I would like to go back to my initial statements that no one wants to hurt water quality, especially not me. No one wants to hurt salmon, especially not me. Well, I like to eat them, so I guess I hurt them every once in a while. But I need to remind people, and you know this, the Oregon Plan predates OWEP. Oregon Plan was officially adopted in 1997. I was here. And this bill, again, I need to reiterate, this bill is not about the Oregon Plan. This is a bill is about a way to do the Oregon Plan better. Because you and I had this discussion in my office, and I want everyone to be very clear about that. This bill is not about, because I voted for the Oregon Plan too. I thought the Oregon Plan was important. But I did not support the creation of OWEP. And so I want to make sure everybody realizes that this bill is not about the Oregon Plan. The Oregon Plan, and I'm in the same soup with you. I make my living in the same industry you represent. And, it's very important what we're doing in the Oregon Plan. I just want people to focus on, is there better ways to do that?
Senator Beyer, I agree with that, and I recognize that from your opening comments. And I think there's no one in this state who doesn't agree that the Oregon Plan is a better than the alternative, which is having a bunch of federal bureaucrats in here hitting us over the head with a club. So I think we're all in. We just need to keep that in mind. That was the point of my. And perception is reality. People's motives will be interpreted by others in ways that they wouldn't recognize.
I think you've just had a wonderful demonstration of two gentlemen with differing opinions in a very civil discourse, exchanging those opinions. I do appreciate the one concept that you've shared, which talks about perception being reality, and I guess we need to keep that in mind. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Ray. I appreciate your coming this morning. It looks like we've got a bunch of people from the Northwest sport fishing industry. I want to give them the same 5 minutes that I would give one person. Jim Martin, Phil Donovan, Liz Hamilton. Just trying to stay on target, so let's move along as quickly as we can.
Thank you, Senator Shields. My name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, which represents tackle manufacturers like Lure Jensen of Hood River, retailers such as G.I. Joe's, distributors like All Sports Supply, all the way down to mom-and-pop bait shops around the state of Oregon and individual fishing guides. I get to walk the hallways every day here, and I think it's always more compelling when you get to hear from those outside of this building. So with me today is Liz Hamilton, who is Executive Director of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry, and Jim Martin, who's Conservation Director for Pure Fishing, and that's a member company of NSIA. Jim's going to present testimony on behalf of the NSIA board. Senator Shields, or Chair Shields, if I could ask your indulgence, Liz is also going to present some testimony on behalf of some people who could not be here today, and hope that you might indulge her with a few extra minutes.
Let's go.
Good morning, Chair Shields and committee members. I'm Jim Martin from Pure Fishing, representing the 300 businesses in the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association, and we're here to express concerns about Senate Bill 384. We strongly oppose this bill. In an examination of the history of over 130 years of salmon restorations in the Pacific Northwest, two reasons for failure have always emerged. One, founding the plan on incorrect and untested assumptions, for example, overdependence on hatcheries. But also the second reason is the lack of being able to maintain political continuity in the effort over the period of time it takes to work on watersheds and find out what works for salmon. We see this as an effort, not in reality to try to dismantle the Oregon Plan, but will be perceived by many as an effort to backslide from the commitment of the Oregon Plan and change fundamentally the integrated nature of the Oregon Plan. And that's a great concern for us. OEB was designed to create a decision-making authority to integrate the roles of all the state natural resource agencies with ex officio advice from the federal agencies and members of the public, an integrated decision-making entity to make these large investments and to investigate the results of those large investments. We believe that no one single agency has that kind of integrated role in it. And part of the problem that led to the salmon crisis is one agency catering to its constituency and another agency catering to its constituency, and nobody having that integrated role. That's the heart of the Oregon Plan. And that's the heart, considering the tremendous amount of federal and state money being invested by OEB. That's the heart. That integrated decision-making captured in the OEB board is the heart of the Oregon Plan. To change that and give that role only to the Access and Habitat Board or the Restoration Enhancement Board or any agency organization within ag or within forestry would dismantle that integrated decision-making and integrated evaluation that's the heart of the Oregon Plan. Since the creation of the Oregon Plan, 91 watershed councils of across Oregon have developed communication linkages with the staff of OEB. Yes, with the staff of the other natural resource agencies, but particularly with the staff of OEB. They've learned who they are. They learned how to reach them. They learned how to compete effectively for resources. They've learned how to be accountable for the expenditure of those resources. We believe, as NSIA, that putting this large multi-million-dollar state and federal granting program into ODFW would break its back in terms of its fiscal and business responsibilities. It can barely maintain its functions now. And furthermore, it would send the wrong message to all those partners that, in fact, Fish and Wildlife, one of the regulatory agencies in the National Resources Complex, rather than an integrated agency, is in charge. We think that would send the wrong message to the other state agencies that have a full role in decision-making in OEB now, but would not in the strategy designed by Senate Bill 384. We think that putting this role in ODFW would conflict it with its other roles that it's struggling mightily to accomplish, most of which it's trying to accomplish with license dollars from the hunting and fishing public and an increasingly decreasing amount of state general fund. We don't need ODFW with its back broken and conflicted. Our industry works with ODFW every single day. It's our regulatory agency. It's our partner in managing hatcheries and managing harvests and recovering endangered species and a broad array of goals it can barely manage now. Consequently, we strongly support ODFW, and we support its leadership role, particularly as a scientific advisor to the Oregon Plan. But we do not support it as the primary funding entity of the Oregon Plan. We think the integrated nature of the Oregon Plan requires an agency like OEB. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time today. For the record, I'm Liz Hamilton, and I'm one of the founding board members of an organization called For the Sake of the Salmon. The executive director, Jim Rapp, is ill this morning and asked that I deliver his testimony for him. I'll pretend I'm Jim. He says, thank you for allowing me some time today to address the importance of Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to the health of Oregon salmon. You've heard from many already about the importance of OEB, so he would like to comment as the importance from his perspective of a director of a multi-state salmon recovery nonprofit and also from his prior life as a city manager in a small town in Oregon.
For the Sake of the Salmon provides local voluntary watershed efforts and support to public agencies and citizens in three states, Oregon, Washington, and California. The board of directors I serve on consists of eight caucuses where we're all equal with each other, which is very unique. Local, state, and federal governments, tribes, environmental community, the fisheries, that's my caucus, power, utilities, timber, and agriculture. And for us, OWEB has been a real valuable partner and asset in the efforts and have been able to amplify what we do in two ways. I've got examples. Years ago, For the Sake of the Salmon initiated the Salmon Friendly Power Program. And through utility rates, we've been able to raise funds to restore watersheds. As of next month, we will have handed out $300,000 in Oregon. And we do this in complement through and with OWEB. And it saves the organization, very small nonprofit, from having to do a granting process ourselves, which would take a great deal of staff. Another item we partnered with OWEB on was supporting of an Oregon Technical Advisory Directory. It's a web-based tool for the councils to find the sources that they need to help them do the job on the ground. The Oregon TAD has been so successful that For the Sake of the Salmon is earning other partnership dollars from other agencies and states because of the success of this program. In Jim's prior career as a manager of a small city in Oregon, OWEB was a critical partner in their groundbreaking efforts to preserve floodplains and wetlands. The support and participation of OWEB helped in efforts in Sherwood to build a model of economic and community growth that respected the natural resources and lived in harmony with them. During this time, Sherwood grew from 3,000 to 13,000, and the housing and employment base expanded dramatically while preserving nearly 20% of its area for parks and wetlands. The resources and attentions of a state agency dedicated to watershed health to those people in Sherwood was an important part of their success story. Mr. Rapp, as his position as executive director, has the utmost respect for the accomplishments of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and, in fact, works in partnership for the Department of Fish and Wildlife and there as the mediator for the native fish conservation policy and the hatchery management policies. ODF&W staff recently made significant contribution to the design of major fish passage remodel passage project that Salmon Friendly Power paid for. But ODF&W has many, many responsibilities to our state fish and wildlife and citizens beyond the watershed enhancement. Oregon has in OWEB an institution that is proven is a proven quantity in restoring state salmon and watershed resources, and I would like to suggest that we should be strengthening these two institutions rather than running the risk of diluting their effectiveness by consolidating their responsibilities.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate that. Are there any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
I'm interested in the first bullet there on page one concerning this SFP program. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that I could get the information or you could make it available to this committee as to over how many years that $300,000 was taken to be given and what the amounts they've taken and what their overhead is?
I'd be glad to get you that information through Jim Rapp. I'm sure he'll be rested over the weekend and well and happy to supply the committee with information about the entire program.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to know that because you indicate that would be increased administrative cost to the small nonprofit, and I would like to know what the administrative costs are now and perhaps you might be thinking of in the way of how much that would eat into the surplus, which has amounted to this $300,000.
Mr. Chairman, for a while after I retired from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, I actually worked for Sake of the Salmon and worked on this project, and maybe I could help answer in a preliminary sense a couple of those questions. The program's been in place for about 3 years and has almost no administrative overhead within For Sake of the Salmon. It's a partnership between Portland General Electric and other utilities who gather the money and then transfer it through For Sake of the Salmon to OWEB, the granting organizations that allocate the money. So For Sake of the Salmon's role is part of one person's role, simply to act as a communication and accountability conduit on that program.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm talking about the SFP.
Salmon Family Power is what I was talking about, Mr.
Yeah, and he's talking about increased administrative costs. This is what I want to know.
I'll tell you what, you and the senator might want to get together and have a conversation.
Be happy to do that.
After the hearing about that. At this point, I'd like to thank you for coming and ask Glenn Stonebrink if he would like to step to the dais. Thank you for coming this morning, Glenn. We're glad to have you. I'm sure you've heard me tell everybody to try to keep it to 5 minutes, so go ahead.
For the record, my name is Glenn Stonebrink, and I'm representing the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I agree with Senator Beyer's statements, and I urge you to support this bill. The Soil and Water Conservation Districts are the best units of government to administer the Measure $66. Those are the SWCD boards are familiar with the state, local, and federal programs and their requirements, and they know the greatest needs within their counties or within their districts. And they know that one of those needs is not taking productive resources out of production or funding special interest groups to purchase more private property. I mean, enough is enough as far as these purchases. Our state is almost 54% owned by the federal government. You throw in another 3% of state-owned lands, county-owned lands, city-owned lands. There isn't much private ownership left, and it's shrinking. So the past history has shown that the Soil and Water Conservation Districts have the experience of administering funds, looking at the highest priority of needs of these funds to do the very same things that were intended by Measure 66. But most importantly, they know better than any other entity that you could think of the land, but most importantly, the landowners. And they have something that, again, that no one can match, and that's the trust of those landowners. The landowners, as we know, have to be cooperators to make this whole system work. We're not talking about habitat on state lands, federal lands, city or county lands. We're talking about private lands. When I sat through the other day the Department of Agriculture's budget process, and I saw there's some very severe cuts, but a number of those cuts fall within the intent of Measure 66, and I'll just name a few. We have administration of Senate Bill 1010, it's water quality, working with private landowners. The CAFO, the Confined Animal Feeding Operation program, that's working with landowners. Noxious weed program and predator control. And the Soil and Water Conservation Districts know the importance of these programs. In the past, I've served as the state executive director of what's now known as the Farm Service Agency, which is U.S. Department of Agriculture. Worked with other federal agencies, state agencies, and yes, most importantly, with the experience with the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. I know the excellent work they can do, and I've also been a farmer rancher who's been on the other end of this process. So how we get a proper and streamlined process, and I totally agree with that. I think that's the obligation of all of our special interest groups as well as the legislators and the agencies to streamline everywhere possible. There just isn't enough funds to do it any other way. I would be happy to serve if there's a working group established at some point to find out, as Senator Beyer said, if this isn't the best mechanism, the best vehicle, then what is the best vehicle? And I think it wouldn't be that difficult to put it together, and I would be happy to offer any assistance from my past experience to help accomplish this. I would urge you to pass this bill and get it to Ways and Means so we can see the fiscal revenue impact statements to see what type of dollars we're really talking about. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Glenn, I want to thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate it very much. John McDonald is next in the queue here. And then we have a couple of folks that have come more than 100 miles, so let's keep moving along.
Senator Shields, members of the committee, my name is John McDonald. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts, and I want to appreciate the introduction that Glenn gave to our program. I feel that you have the testimony in place of you in writing, and as I'm sitting back there, I'm sitting trying to figure out how do I really respond to the current situation that I'm experiencing right now. And I can tell you right now, I feel in a great big hot spot. Because our position here is that we are asking that the bill be defeated. But at the same time, we are seeing that there are a number of things that really need to be addressed that are very important issues to us. Part of the reason that probably comes as a surprise is that there are a lot of our members, and I represent 291 elected directors. I am an elected director as well of Washington County SWCD, have been for 8 years now. A number of things have happened over correspondence and negotiations between the Conservation Commission and the Soil and Water Conservation Districts that I think were very important, and some of them left a bad taste in some of our members' mouths. Therefore, I think some of the people who say, you know, who might have had a little glint in their eye when they said, oh, we have a bill that's going to abolish OWEB, I think it was more that they saw this as kind of a way to slap back. Rather than necessary, see this as a real intent to change the director and the leadership of the state. So we oppose the bill only because it is to change to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, not because the other directions and motions and modifications and so forth are not required and necessary. I've listed a couple there on the short report, and there's obviously another laundry list. I would go along with the same thing that Glenn mentioned, and that is we would really like to have a sit-down. We would like to talk about some of the concerns. Senator Beyer, since you opened the door about the role of conservation districts, I think that's absolutely what's been in our thinking for a long time, is what is that role? I think it was a mistake years ago not to have seen a more viable role for conservation districts as the Oregon Plan was evolving. Maybe it was a lack of vision, maybe it was a lack of ourselves of promoting what we could do. We have the statutory machinery, we have the requirements, we have the background to be able to move. We are interested in even changing some of our leadership, and some of our directors are more broadly focused as far as their orientation toward environmental concerns in general. We've gone to enormous extent over the last couple of years to increase our accountability and our functioning to be able to better deal with the issues on the ground. I'm a lot more concerned, frankly, about what happens when these programs get to the ground than necessarily what's happening here at the state level. You know, you can shift things back and forth as you want to, but when it gets down and we have things like now, we have potential programs that actually generate, albeit some destructive competition, I think we need to look at those kinds of things, because that minimizes the ability to deal with the landowners. It confuses the landowners. Where do they go? Who do they listen to? Whose reports got what? And I think those are some of the issues that we need to talk about, of division of labor, definition of roles. Now, please understand, we are not anti-watershed councils. In fact, we help support a lot of them. We help build them. We help give parenting to a lot of them and stuff like that. We have districts that have formed them in every single little watershed they have, because it becomes what, in our estimation, was the right thing to do. It was citizen participation and stakeholder involvement. And that's what we needed. We as districts knew we needed that. We needed broader representation. Our law says go out and talk to the people in your community and find out what the needs are, what the concerns are, and what the citizens are willing to do to address these issues. I think we therefore have the need to sit down and figure out how do these two structures, who sometimes get along very well, sometimes are actually too close to serve their functions, but need the kind of definition of role and structure that would help them be more effective at the ground level. One other issue mentioned, Senator Byers, is that the districts do compete for administrative money. The money we do not compete for is the $8,000 that comes from the Department of Agriculture directly to the district to pay for statutorily required things such as preparation of a long-range plan and distribution to citizens, an annual work plan, an annual audit, which we have to do through a CPA firm, bonding, and so forth. We get $8,000 to do that. That's not competitive. All the rest is. Are there any questions, sir?
Are there any questions? I really appreciate you coming. I appreciate your testimony and how clearly written it is. Appreciate your time.
The thing, Senator Shields, on the last page is an entirely different approach to looking at this thing, and it comes from my background as an instructor in management. It talks about, I don't think we want to go back 3 years and come here a couple years from now facing the same issues.
Yeah.
Because we had to concentrate on other things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be taking a look at that. I appreciate it. Native Fish Society, Les Helgeson shows here that you live more than 100 miles from Salem.
I apologize.
Well, hurry up and come on up here. Since your trip was shorter, we'll cut your time shorter. Just hurry.
Okay, I'll make it as brief as possible. Thank you, Chair Shields, members of the committee. My name is Les Helgeson, for the record. And I'd like to submit the following comments on behalf of the Native Fish Society concerning Senate Bill 384. We're strongly opposed to this bill. We don't feel it would result in any significant benefits to the state's budget dilemma or anything else here, particularly since the intent of this and the other House-sponsored bill here we heard next week would simply divert funds to other agencies, which have limited authority as well to expend these funds on appropriate restoration activities. As you know, OEB has been the primary funding source for implementation of the Oregon Plan and has produced significant benefits over the years. And perhaps most importantly, the agency provides a backbone for many volunteers who participate through dozens of watershed councils throughout the state. Passage of this bill would likely abolish the councils. And I think it would be a discredit to the many volunteers and hours that we put into this. I'd like to change hats briefly. As an individual, I'm a private landowner. I live on the Nestucca River. I helped form one of the first watershed councils in the state almost 10 years ago now, and currently serve as the co-chair of the Fish and Wildlife Subcommittee of the technical team of the Watershed Council. And I think we've got a good working relationship with OEB. It's been a rocky road in the past, but folks like Tom Schaefer on the coast have done an excellent job of making things work, and they're starting to work now. We're seeing some results. I'd like you to consider the makeup of the OEB board versus the Access and Habitat board, I guess, is what you're proposing with Fish and Wildlife. Take a hard look at the representation there. It would be entirely inappropriate. In fact, I would suggest moving the conservation responsibilities of ODFW into OEB. Go the other way. So, thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I have notes here from some of my committee members encouraging people to not go over testimony that's already been given since we're short on time. Some of us do have other commitments at noon. With that, I'm going to ask Gene Wilkinson from the Farm Bureau to come up. I'll bet you can do it in 5 minutes.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jean Underhill-Wilkinson, Associate Director for the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. The Oregon Farm Bureau Federation supports Senate Bill 384 for the very same reasons that you've heard other supporters here today and the same reasons that Senator Beyer pointed out in his presentation and opening comments. We trust his judgment. And our constituents feel the same way as some of his constituents do, that the maximum amount of money needs to be put out on the ground for these projects. The landowners that we represent are suffering increased legal liability as a result of endangered species listings and water quality standards. And as a result, if there's any way to provide efficiency and streamlining in government to decrease and provide efficiency to administrative expenses associated with these funds, we would like to see that done. And I hope the focus remains on government efficiency and providing landowners with the most resources as possible for the projects and for conservation and species recovery. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll give a prize for the person that does it the fastest. That's what we're going to start doing here.
She wins
so far. Midcoast Watershed Council, Rennie Ferris. And you've come more than 100 miles, as I understand it.
Pretty darn close. I won't say 199.
In other words, you knew how to read the sign-up sheet.
Chairman Shields, members of the committee, I feel pretty passionate about OEB. I'm a self-employed native plant nursery person. And
for the record, you need to put your name.
Sorry.
It's okay.
For the record, Rennie Ferris. Today, the head of the Mid-Coast Watersheds Council. Self-employed nursery and landscape person. My contacts with OEB through participation in the council and as a director of the Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District, I have very close working contact with the personnel of OEB, and nothing but praise for how responsive they are, how much of a stickler they are in details, which I think is important. I envy them in their abilities to work with adults like myself that don't really have good understandings of budgets and all that sort of thing. Said they want the details, but the approachability and the helpfulness that that they show is why OEB has been so successful these last few years. The doors that the independent agency, as OEB is, have opened, I can give you list of property after property after property that did not allow access to surveyors from Fish and Wildlife and other government agencies that have allowed us to, and even putting on dry suits and snorkeling with our surveyors, looking at fish, have opened up discussions about light and shade and trees and all that sort of thing. But I think it's an ongoing process to find out just what's the best approach for restoring our streams. Our organization, as a part of OEB, there's some distinct differences between the council and probably councils in general and the conservation district, and I can't really speak to how the others work. I can only speak for how ours works. And there is an incredible diversity in the Watershed Council to the extent of, from the beginning, the chair and co-chair position or vice chair positions have been held by industrial timber representatives and environmental representatives. And this is, shifts every annual elections every year, and those two groups have always ended up with representation as chair and vice chair. And the trust of the council and having those people elected there is not going to be there if this is put under an organization. As it's set up now, these agencies come together as equals, and there's some baggage with ODF&W that is just not going to disappear in a lot of people's minds. Justified or not, it isn't going to disappear. The consensus process that we've got in the council works very, very well in keeping these diverse people focused on what they can work together on in this organization. That would not be there without it. Our process for working on projects is the last little bit. We're doing aquatic habitat inventories to see what conditions the streams are in and scoring them. We're doing spawning surveys. We're doing juvenile surveys, doing these to identify what streams we can do the most good in, initially prioritizing them. We've got an action plan to put this all together. And as I said, I really hope 5 minutes is too short to say what I'd like to say. I would really encourage you to take a look at our annual report that Senator Fisher there's had in his hand. I think it does a very good job of explaining how part of how we work and what good projects we do. And if you guys get opportunities to go to tours, come see us anytime. Don't even announce yourself. Walk in. Any part of our process you want to see for how we operate physically, I welcome. And the last thing, if we had an audit review that the auditor recommended no physical changes in our process.
That's pretty amazing.
I'm proud of that. Yeah.
We have, I was sneaking a look at your report as well, as Senator Fisher, and I can promise you we'll take a close look at it.
As soon as
we have some time.
I'd be glad to answer any questions now. Please contact me or anybody on the council for anything that we can help you with in trying to find the right decisions in this process.
Thank you very much. Other questions? Thank you very much for coming today. I appreciate it. And with that, we're down to the two final folks who chose to go last, and that's Jim Myron and Jeff Huntington. And they're going to come up together. They're all, y'all recognize what role they play, but they will be putting their names and designations on the record. Who wants to go first, gentlemen?
I'll go ahead and go first. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jim Myron, representing the governor's office. My written testimony is being distributed, so I won't go through that. You can read that at your leisure, but we are opposed to this bill. I would like to respond a little bit to the issues that Senator Beyer brought up earlier. With regard to not only the Access and Habitat Board and the Restoration and Enhancement Board at ODFW, but also the SWCD network, we believe that the missions of all of those organizations are much too narrow to be an adequate replacement for OWEB in the delivery of the Oregon Plan on the ground. We're certainly not opposed to streamlining of government. In fact, that's an issue that that we have a very, very big interest in. We would like to see, though, a much broader discussion of that issue, and it's probably much more long-term than just what can be accomplished during this legislative session. We would like to see a review of all of the state natural resource agencies to see what kind of opportunities there may be for consolidation or coordination of those activities, and would suggest that that be a consideration for the interim. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thanks. We may get back with questions, but let's go with Jeff first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff Huntington, the director of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And before I say anything substantive about the bill, I do want to thank both the chair and the bill sponsor, Senator Beyer, for the courtesies you've extended to me in conversations we've had and in the structuring of remarks today. I appreciate it, and I welcome, frankly, an open discussion about our agency. And I want to say that I understand the coming budget scrutiny of programs. I welcome that, too. I'm comfortable with it, and I'm very comfortable with the concept of zero-based budgeting for agencies and looking at a reexamination of programs and why they exist and where they're headed and what they provide. And I think that the merit of OWEB as a standalone agency will survive that kind of scrutiny in the Ways and Means process. I do have concerns about the bill and oppose it. I have provided some written testimony that I'm not going to even cover the full scope of it. Rather, I'd like to spend some time talking about one of the primary themes that has been mentioned several times today, and that's efficiency, and efficiency in government. And I thought about that over the last few days, and I was trying to decide, you know, what really constitutes efficiency. And I think it's broader than simply one less agency operating in state government. And it means several things to me. And my testimony, at least in Section 3, talks about some different ways to look at efficiency and how OEB stacks up in that regard. First is cost savings in absolute terms. And as my testimony mentions, the only change in the current bill is substituting my board with the current Access and Habitat Board and elimination of the director's position, I frankly think the cost savings is marginal, and I believe it'll be offset very quickly by the costs associated with expanding the capacity of both the agency, ODFW, and the Access and Habitat Board to absorb a multi-million dollar grant program and comply with the auditing and accountability requirements, as well as the statutory mandates that were provided to OEB from the last legislature in 2001 in the form of Senate Bill 945 and 946. Streamlined bureaucracy is another way to accomplish efficiency, and since the intent here isn't to eliminate the grant program or to undermine Measure 66 or its goals or the Oregon Plan, and it is not to eliminate the coordination of monitoring efforts and reporting functions that are mandated by Senate Bill 945 and 946, but simply to move them, to me the relevant question then becomes whether the functions can be accomplished elsewhere for less than at OEB, and I would submit that they can't. Frankly, our current overhead rate at OEB right now is 5.4% of the funds we administer, and this is exceptionally low compared to agencies and foundations in the private sector as well. Private foundations frequently run at in excess of 15% overhead, with the university system coming in well over 25%. One reason we are able to realize this low overhead is because we have economies of scale by not being tied to program mandates that have to also be implemented. We're lean, and we don't carry significant administrative costs that come with anything beyond providing accountability for the grant program that we administer and a very limited coordination role that we play that has very little staffing issues associated with it, but has great implications for pulling together other entities to collaborate on what the Oregon Plan is really supposed to be about. I do believe that if we were to be placed in another agency, this capacity would erode over time, and as the grant program became one of a number of program mandates that had to support a larger infrastructure of overhead that's geared for quite something quite different than putting funds on the ground. Efficiency to me also means focused collaboration and coordination of government agencies, and I think efficiency in government results from coordinating efforts of different agencies, each of which have a unique mission or mandate, and that's something that OEB does, and it is something that the OEB board is singularly unique in its structure to accomplish, and it's been mentioned several times today, so I won't go into it any more than that, except to say that losing the forum that is provided by the OEB board by eliminating that diversity of the board and putting the program somewhere else, I think would significantly diminish the efficiency of Oregon's one-of-a-kind effort in the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds. And OEB right now is the only place this occurs at either the state or the federal level. And while they are ex officio advisors, the OEB board is one place where the state natural resource policy oversight citizen appointees to those boards sit and have dialogue and work directly with high-level decision makers at federal natural resource agencies that have a real say in some of the resource issues that the state's facing. Efficiency also can be accomplished by enhancing and focusing government on providing identifiable products instead of maintaining ongoing programs. And here again, that's something that OEB does. We fund products, definable, audible outcomes that others undertake. And because we're independent from those that seek to implement the projects, we provide a budgetary and technical scrutiny of project merit that can't be readily replicated. It's not impossible, but it would be very difficult because of the vested constituencies that play a strong role in policy direction and execution of programs in agencies that have a regulatory mandate. And the last point I'll make is in terms of efficiency, we do an awful lot to leverage public dollars from private investments, and one of the reasons we are capable of doing that, frankly, is because we, our current structure, we are a standalone agency without the ties to specific government programs, and that allows me, in particular, my role as a director of the agency, to work with private foundations and try to engage a spectrum of different funding interests that have overlapping missions to invest private dollars into the state's programs, because we are not coming as an agency that has something to implement, but rather as a funding entity, much like they function in the private sector. A couple of comments were made in the testimony that I listened to this morning. One was that OWEB, the Oregon Plan predated OWEB, and that's absolutely correct. But I did want to point out and clarify for the record that the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board has been around for quite a while before the Oregon Plan came along. And the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board was acting as an independent funding entity for watershed restoration that had an umbrella that was greater than simply salmon recovery. And one of the reasons that Measure 66 was such an appropriate fit for an agency like OWEB to be created, I believe anyway, is that Measure 66 is about much more than salmon recovery. And in fact, looking at the projects we fund over the landscape of Oregon and the number of interests that we engage, it is agricultural water quality, wetlands, point source water quality issues, upland practices, stream flow enhancement through water conservation measures, a whole gamut of things that may have related benefits for salmon but are certainly have merit and constituencies that are unique from the salmon recovery issues. One last point, streamlining. The comment was made that we need to get more dollars onto the ground, and that might occur from consolidating us to another agency. I want to make the point that streamlining this agency anyway will not result in more dollars on the ground, because the dollars OWEB administers are constitutionally mandated to be spent on the ground. And there's a firewall between the operational budget of my agency and the grant dollars that are available to be spent on projects that go on the ground. And that would be the case for any other agency. So the relevant comparison is then how what kind of infrastructure overhead does it take to administer the multi-million dollar grant program that Measure 66 has afforded the state to invest in watershed restoration that encompasses salmon recovery, water quality, and enhancement of watershed functions across the landscape. And with that, I'll answer any questions you have.
Are there questions this morning? Are there comments this morning?
Mr. Chair, I would like to make one comment, and I'm not going to disagree with what Jeff just said, because the Constitution and the statutes reflect also do say that a certain percentage of the dollars have to go to the projects. That's true, and I'm not in any way trying to say that OWEB is not following that mandate. If I made that implication, I did not mean to, because I do not believe that you are in any way not following that mandate. But I would also like to point out what the Constitution says. It's a minimum of 65% of the dollars go to the ground. It could be a maximum of 100% if we could achieve that. So I believe, while yes, OWEB has not gone below that minimum, I would agree with that 100%. The Constitution does not say we can't do better than that.
Okay. Jeff, I want to thank you and Jim for coming. Jeff, particularly, I want to thank you for your cooperation with us and your kindness and communication, both with Senator Beyer, who is bringing the bill, and myself as chair. I do think that any department or agency any time ought to be able to defend its role and its mission, and I appreciate your coming, and I appreciate the testimony of lots and lots of people. This has been an educational process for me. I hope, Jeff, that you've taken note of a lot of this testimony yourself this morning. I was particularly intrigued by John McDonald's remarks, and if you don't have a copy of them, I hope you'll get a copy from me or somebody else here, and maybe we can have some further discussion about some of the relationships between the Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OWEB and so on. So there's lots of discussion that can continue, but I I think that it's been real educational for all of us this morning. And I want to, yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd just also like to thank Jeff, and I haven't had a chance to talk with Jim about this. I did talk with Jim Brown from the governor's office about this, and I appreciate the conversations we've had. And I would also like to reiterate now that this bill and my intent to this bill is not anything directed at anybody personally in the agency or what you've done. I mean, obviously, no one is always ever going to agree with everything everybody does, but this is not just about, you know, streamline efficiency and not about anything in particular at OWEB or anyone at OWEB.
Thank you, Senator. And I want to thank all of you for a model civil public hearing where we covered a lot of testimony this morning. Thank you all. And with that, the committee is adjourned.